Om Namah Shivai. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Prashna Upanishads and Questions and Answers, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Swamiji, I have been looking this week at my attachments to people, my parents in particular, and also to things, because I'm having to get rid of some of their things. They're still alive, but I'm having to get rid of some of their things, and it almost feels as if I'm facing their death before their death. And I feel very, very, very sad. And also, I'm dating a man, and I feel, and he's traveling, and I feel a lot of emotion about that too, like attachment emotion. So your lecture tonight was really perfect. And how do you deal with the emotion of the attachment of the earthly plane? And also, is it better, so I liked your explanation of brahmacharya, but is it better not to have such intimate relationships in life and just put all of your attention toward God?
The last statement is the correct statement, but you have to understand it, you see. Turning to God is in and through your attachment. If a child is growing and suddenly he hears about detachment, now I must say goodbye to my father, goodbye to my mother, he will be deprived of all nourishment. I'm making a big joke, but the idea is you are in a world of dependence, Swajana's peoples, but how can you develop a quality in your attachment? Your attachments should have a purpose. You are attached to your father. Sit down near him. Tell him all the inspiring things you have heard in satsang. Say to him how much you love him. And want to keep your mouth close to his ears. I'm joking, but try to understand. Turn attachment into a service. You can detach. You develop your attitude of attachment. Parents don't have that attitude, so should not hurt them in the name of a detachment. You should go on serving them. They must feel that you are lovable. But your love should not be just keeping them in a very ordinary level. Your love should not be inciting or exciting their weakness, his weakness. There are two ways of loving. You can come close to your father. Oh, all your hairs have turned gray, but still I love you. With that's the voice of attachment. The voice of detachment, Father. Have you heard of how powerful a mantra is? Let's recite it. Do you know the prayer? Do you know certain story that makes the mind very happy? Whatever, think of it. And make your relationship purposeful. No matter whatever relationship. If you are making it purposeful and Godward, then you are not going to go wrong. If you don't make it purposeful and you want to create a switching away by stress, that is not a detachment. That's not real. You don't succeed. Between God and the world, there is no separation. You can't say detached from the world, attached to God. The world is not here and God is not there. God is inside the world. The more you love the higher self in people, greater is your detachment. Greater is your detachment, greater is your profound love. Love that shines. Otherwise, in the name of love, what develops? Lot of attachment, lot of affection. Lot of delusional love called moha. I can't live without you. I can never be separated from in the three periods of time. So all those are the words of delusion. You are the best in the whole world. Instead of using those words, you bring your imagination, real love. What can really help my mother or my father? How can I be qualitatively helpful to them, even in relation to their nutrition, in relation to their health problems? If you focus your mind that way, as well as in your relationship, new relationship you are building, how much can you help each other in a positive way? Two birds on the tree, they have two choices. How much they can kick each other so that they stay confined to the tree, or how much they can urge each other to fly. No more confined to the tree. Figure that out.
So if I feel the little girl in me, that's the delusion.
No, that's your reality. But really the little girl has to grow up. So how can you let that grow up? Little is not going to stay little all the time. So everybody has to grow. Everybody has to be spiritually nourished. If that movement comes in, and if you get confused, it doesn't matter. More satsanga, more japa, more prayer, automatically God creates a disposition in you that is healthier, even without your calculating.
I find a little contradiction here, Swamiji, because through relationships one evolves.
Mm-hmm.
And also affection can be without attachment, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little contradiction there, I find.
Because you didn't hear my will.
No, I heard everything you said, Swamiji. Everything you said. But it is impossible to live without relationships. Even a guru has to have discipleships.
Did I say to her without?
No. What I'm saying is there has to be evolution through different relationships.
No, that's exactly what I was emphasizing.
It is not always about God. God through the person.
That's what I was telling.
No, there was some contradiction there.
No, ask anybody else.
I heard something different. And also...
Yes, that's what I was emphasizing. God cannot be contacted. You are contacting human beings.
Human beings.
In and through human beings.
In and through. Lot of love, tender loving care and affection.
That care.
Without attachment.
That's correct. But that tender loving care should switch your attention, God in them. So your tender loving care should not be just to satisfy their sentiments, but to allow them to be really. For example, if there's a patient and you have tender loving care for the patient, but the patient wants to eat lots of rasgullas or a lot of this type of thing.
We have to use our common sense, of course.
But there what I'm trying to say, your love should not be fall for hurting the patient or any person.
That's common sense.
But rather, the real love emerges out of that affection.
Yes.
I never can say to a person, you shouldn't be affectionate, you should not be loving. That's entirely against my teachings.
But sometimes there is a little contradiction.
No, it sounds like it, but it's not so. True. But therefore, I'm making loud voice.
Mm.
It is never so.
Very important.
Because it is impossible.
Yeah.
But in and through people with whom you are already involved, how can you touch a deeper strings of the heart? How can you touch something deeper in them and allow yourself also to become more enriched? You see? You can sit with a person whom you like and start telling all the nastiest things you have heard about the world, or sit with the person and you say about satsanga talks and something. In what way have I contradicted the relationship?
You have to use your common sense, Swamiji.
But all this has to come, not because I am saying, it should come from within you. But you should build up that type of attention, that your love should not stay just in the level of surface affection. It should grow out of, just like the sun is shining through the cloud, In the beginning, the cloud is obstructing it. But the sun must emerge out of the cloud, through the cloud, allow the cloud to gradually become silvery. In and through the cloud, the sun shines. In and through human relations, your love shines. It is that which is always described. Any other way of interpreting is that not yoga.
Swamiji, I understand what you're saying. Sentiments have to be expressed according to adhikari bhed also.
Oh,
there are
not,
some people.
There again, it's not my teaching that you should not. You should move away. If there is a child has to have a childish sentiment. You should be what you are in reality. But with the idea that you are going to grow up. If you are moving in a right way in your relationship, you are growing up. You are making people grow up. And that's a healthy process.
You cannot give a mantra japa instruction to somebody who is totally against it or averse to it, especially when they are old.
No, nobody.
You have to
nobody
do
is,
according to what you feel is appropriate.
No, that's
for
correct. That's correct.
Condition.
No, that's correct. Even while I'm talking, I'm never giving the idea that you should listen to me.
I just wanted to clarify that.
That's
for
okay.
I'm going to take you to a completely different place.
Great.
Whoops. And it's about the news that we are hearing every day, and it's very, very upsetting to a lot of us that are in this world. And we know how the suffering of some people, whether we know them or not, affects the whole of humanity. And we have these leaders that I don't know that they understand what's going on, because I think I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I think that these people in general do not know themselves. They have not in the inside mirror to know themselves. So they want to be, they need, they have this immense need to tell the world that they are big. And
they are
that
what?
They are powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that everybody's powerful.
I know. What you are describing is a matter of fact.
I know, but it's very, what do you do? How do you get, because what they are doing is very toxic to the rest of the world. You know,
that's perfectly correct what you are saying. But the point is how can you deal with it? Firstly, from your side, point should be all those negative things that you see in others, look within yourself. Are they present in you?
Most
are. Then you also, when you are put into the same position, will act like them. So start working with yourself. And so negative seen in others should not create in you unnecessary stress. Because if you become baffled by the negative you see in others, that baffled state of your mind will not allow you to grow in the right way. And being baffled is not the answer to the problem. Therefore, the only answer that God has allowed you, look within yourself, look around yourself, see how can you grow better and share it with people whom you can reach. Don't imagine of sharing that with people who will never listen to you and who are far away. But start living in a practical way. Even a tiny step of goodness that you generate within yourself, you have done something concrete. And it has unimaginable potentiality. A plant that gives a little tiny flower, lot of fragrance, sometimes a whole area, whole garden begins to become aromatic. So that should be the idea. Otherwise, mind develops a habit of constantly looking at others, bringing all the data, comparing and contrasting. This one looks like Hitler. No, he's not Hitler, he's somebody else. And lots of confusion. And then you get up, your nerves are tight and muscles become tense as if you are going to fight the battle. All that is unnecessary wastage. You can have all the information, but your mind must understand the practical reality. If you are by the ocean, you can see so many people into the ocean. Some people are, there are animals and there are fishes, etc. But your reality is the part of the ocean where you are. Your reality, if you want to enjoy that plunge in the ocean, look around you, confine yourself to that plunge, and deal with that practical reality. Others, again, then what will happen to others? Realize it is not, all this is not given to you, fortunately. God created it. So God is going to look after them, and you have been looked after by God. So therefore, but whenever there is possibility that you can speak up and your words can reach broader dimension, go ahead. Today you have all types of possibilities. But everything must arise from within you. Have you really understood? Are you working upon it? And then thereby you share. And if things don't work the way you want, don't keep your mind involved in it. This world is not just simple manipulations of some dictators. The world is a proof. Sometimes there are dictators that are not there. But just a tsunami comes, sweeps away thousands of people. Whom will you complain against? Whom will you blame? And sometimes it seems people are living very quietly, calmly. But then, if you have a deeper sensitivity, if that quietness is tamasic, nobody is really developing anything profound. There are no scientists, no discoveries, nothing new coming up, no creativity. People are living very finely. Picture of a tamasic. Leave the world and all types of people in God's hands. Focus your mind to where you are. Where you are, there is a big world also. Your relatives, your friends, how do you impact upon them? And better of all, you. How much are you assimilating, growing? How much you are utilizing your resources before you expect others to utilize their resources? All that, again, come back to simple point. Continue to nourish your mind by satsanga. Satsanga, allow oxygen to enter the mind. And satsanga gives you the divine oxygen.
Swamiji, I want to take you back to the relationship situation. I like that. The worst vasana that we have, men, women, is the relationship. But usually it's because it's a possessive relationship, because it's not a transparent relationship. And there are interests in each other. And that's what makes the relationship worse. So then when there's a God war movement, obviously both sides have to understand that there is a soul. And then with that commitment with both souls is a growing towards Godward movement. But if there is a not transparency and not a truth relationship, that's when it becomes so worse and so tense and so stressful.
And what's your solution?
So my solution is that the problem in a lot of the humanity relationships is that it's a lack of truth, a lack of letting
you
it
cannot
go
cross this ocean of the world without a ship. And that ship is a relationship.
So there is a relationship. So that was Arati was saying, without relationship we cannot function. Right?
But that's what you learn. How can you improve, enrich the relationship? Relationship simply implies it's an opportunity for open your heart, share your feeling, allow your warmth to help others. But now your figure, mind should be focused on, it should be qualitative. Because sometimes to a hateful person, if you say many hateful things, he will be very pleased with you. Say, I like you so much. Your relationship can go many ways. You bring some sorrowful news and sit with a person. person goes on listening for hours, don't forget, tomorrow come again. That ship is going to be a dangerous course. But use the same thing. Suppose they come tomorrow, oh yes, I'm coming. But now you come with a little qualitative communication, something that will help that person, something that will help you. It should be a joyous movement, but it should be qualitative. How qualitative? You grow into it. There is no even limit to it. Capacity in human heart and potentiality is profound. The moment you begin to touch deeper core and give a qualitative type of attitude or emotion, that emotion touches the heart of a person. Even inimical people, when you have developed a sense of compassion, goodness, they're touched by your look, your words. So when I'm saying this, I'm not asking anybody to cut away from any relationship. I'm asking them to improve upon their relationship. And that's why God has put relationship with great care. Everybody has karmas. Whether you like it or not, you are bonded with so many people around you.
Swamiji, in the first lesson for the Prashna Upanishad, you spoke about free will amongst others, because you were explaining the mantra, the Shanti mantra. Would you tell tell us more right now? Remind us, Gada Parinaya again, from free will.
What is the theme of it? About free will?
Well, free will. It just happens that because I'm hearing everything about attachment, relationship, and I think that it relates.
Two points are there, see. Self-effort and grace. Self-effort depends upon your free will. If you have free will, then you exercise your effort. But then people find themselves as if they have no free will. Then they develop the idea that I'm under some negative effect of stars, and they go into that. That's no. That's not the right way. Right way to understand that no matter how helpless you feel, deep down there is a great potentiality. Therefore, do whatever self-effort you can do, even the tiniest step. That self-effort will imply now coming to satsang is a part of self-effort. Similarly, there are certain realities around you, and how to handle them, you adopt certain, according to your understanding, you move, do something, instead of doing nothing and just keeping the mind soaked in sorrow. Do something. As you begin to do something, with a little touch of prayer, a little touch of God, little satsanga, you begin to discover that you have more capacity to do. First you realize that you have no capacity at all. You are completely dependent. Free will was with a very small circle. Now the circle advances. You can do more. Then it advances further. Then you realize your self-effort can be touched by God's grace. Like self-effort stage is just like you are moving in a car going to the airport. Grace, you have gone into the airplane and you are sitting there and asking for tea. If you had not started in your car to begin with, you will not be led to that level. So self-effort, grace, and if this process goes on, you never turn your mind to the idea of limitation, that I can't do it, I'm not destined to do it. With God within you and your future shines bright and there is no limit to it. In other words, you can attain God realization within lifetime, which is the highest goal.
I'm a mother and my daughter is 22. And of course, every time that I say this is healthy, she will run and she will say something that is not. And same thing with her life. And as a mother, I would like to know, how can I help her? How can I, she always said that she doesn't believe in anything. And I'm always trying to show her that, yes, there is God.
And little by little, she has been acknowledging it. But I, you know, she drinks and she parties. And I would like to help because I feel that I can, you know, she's so close. So I feel that I can lose her or she can just get, you know, lost in all of the drinking and the crazy life. As a mother, how can I help? I do pray a lot.
Uh-huh. You are already doing the best you can. Continue doing that. Consider all that as a part of God's plan to give you a kind of austerity, a kind of challenge. And ultimately it is God within you is helping the God within that child. And you play, continue. This is part of life, part of your sadhana. And ultimately, by good attitude, you are opening your window of your heart to a deeper experience. So no matter how it appears in the field of activity, in the field of your daily life, sometimes some people have wonderful things around them. Sometimes people have many limitations around them. But the idea is no matter how things are, if you are developing a patient attitude and your mind is getting interested in satsanga, then automatically God will give you a spontaneity of how to deal with situation. And you follow your instinct, do your best, and consider that part of your sadhana. It's easy to love people who are lovable, but not so easy when the love of yours requires a lot of special service, attention, stress. But in that practice of love, you have a greater spiritual progress.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question regarding the ego. Like, how do you know when your ego is guiding you to do something versus you're doing something that you believe is the right thing to do and you're being proactive in making that happen?
First thing you should know that it is never completely like white and black. There is always a mix-up situation. In mix-up, there is always a proportion. How much it is God's will and how much is your will. Now, to recognize how much is God's will, when that happens, your mind will have absolutely no doubt about it. But when your will is mixing with it, then you will have the doubt, is it God's will or is it my will? Again, there is no harm in that. But you can always consult people who know better. In situations that require profound choice, but in situations that require ordinary choices, blundering now and then is a part of life. When you blunder and you follow the will, thinking it is God's will, but your toes got smashed. I'm joking, but the idea to understand, that's what life is called, battle of life. If your mind is positive, go on insisting on allowing your mind to develop devotion to God, allowing yourself to be enriched by spiritual understanding. If you go on doing that, automatically things will enter your heart with spontaneity. And when you follow it, you will have no question about it. You will do it joyously. Until then, it's also natural. You can try to understand. That's called sankalpa vikalpa. Look at a situation to and fro. God has also allowed you to move your head this way and that way. Flexibility of the neck. And use your discernment. Because God will allow you to choose. So in situations like that, we don't rush. Have good understanding, study to and fro, and then follow your judgment. That's a growing process. You see, growing process is not mathematical, it's a natural process. You never tell a plant what are the things required for growth. It moves by itself. Okay?